home, our life before the throne, we'll honor him in perfect song, where we belong. He'll wipe each tear-stained eye as thirst and hunger die. The Lamb becomes our Shepherd King. We'll reign with him. Hear heaven's voices sing, their thunderous anthem rings through emerald courts and sapphire skies. Their praises rise. All glory, wisdom, power, strength, thanks, and honor to God our King, who reigns on high forevermore, forevermore. Hear heaven's voices sing, their thunderous anthem rings through emerald courts with sapphire skies. Their praises rise. All glory, wisdom, power, strength, thanks, and honor are to God our King, who reigns on high
forevermore. What a day that shall be when we stand before the throne of our God, our Lord, bow before him, and our worship will be perfect. Everything we express will be pleasing to him. There's nothing we can do there that will be counter to his grace. Everything is consistent with who he is. There'll be perfect worship, and will be forever. We're looking forward to that as we also live in our time in this life, where our worship is not all perfect, and where our life is a struggle to be pleasing to him. Learning in his grace, living in a community that he is forming and bringing together for his praise. And that's the part when we continue in the series, My Church, learning to live in a community, in the responsibility, connections, calling, so that we can be pleasing to him. Today I'm looking at one area that's very crucial in the life of God's people, and yet very much neglected. And it is not something that creates a stirring in the hearts of God's people, and that is the relationship with leadership in the church. And the responsibility that both we have, leadership to the church, and the responsibility of the people to the leadership in the church. But let's first just pause there a little bit as I invite you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll be reading in only two verses, in verse 12 and 13. And we'll look into why it is so important and why it is for us to pay attention here and to walk in the light. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Lord, the text is before us. We pray your Holy Spirit will be our instructor. Open our hearts so we understand and cause us to walk in obedience. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are many issues in our church life, many concerns and also many things to learn, and many relationships and connections with people that affect our spiritual growth and the development of our life in God's grace. As we go into this series, this is one segment that I have left. There are many things to learn, but I'm, like I said, I want to start Luke next week so that we can move into the Christmas season in preparation and forward with, I guess, years before us in the Gospel of Luke. So I asked the question, what is it that crucial in the relationship of God's people? And also next week we will have an opportunity to affirm the leadership team in the church. I would also like to take this time for us to understand what are we affirming, who are we affirming, what are the principles we are looking at. And for those who are called into this work, then ask the question, how do we carry that out? But like I said, you know, this is like a very distant kind of issue. We sit here and we don't think about church or what, leadership of the church and all this relationship. But let me ask you this, you know, some questions. If the church is weak and or ill or in trouble, will that impact you? Or does the health of the church have anything to do with your spiritual development? Is learning of the word important to you? What is taught? How is taught? How about the vision of the church? What we are here for and what we are doing together? How about direction of ministry? What things fit together? Personal growth and spiritual growth, development for you and your family, opportunities to serve. All these things, if you answer yes to any of these questions, then you want to care about this principle that we learned today. Because in all the things that affect the church, perhaps this is one that either make or break the church in so many ways. When the relationship breaks down between the congregation and the leaderships of the church, and not just leadership, but in ministry leadership, and all these things, things begin to deteriorate in ways that that has long-term effect. And also when the environment and the relationships are healthy and God is working and bringing the people together and working in all the things God put in the church, one another, we find the church with vitality, with focus, with vision in order to carry out the work that God gives to each one of us. So it is to call us into this relationship and to understand that we have responsibility both ways to build up leadership, build up people, and understand what God called us to do. So I wanted just to look into the relationship here, and I want to make it personal. So I said my leader is in my church, and I want to cast that framework quite wide in terms of my leaders, leadership of the church, but also leadership of my team, leadership of my group, leadership of my ministry, and look all into that in ways that God will be able to make and correct the relationship that we have. Before I go into that, as I said, you know, next week we will affirm the leadership team of the church. Let me just make a few comments here so that we know what it is about, and also in conjunction with the instructions we have today. I want to correct a few basic understandings and practices in the confirmation, or sometimes we say voting, for leadership. Number one, the church is not a democracy. That's why what we do is not voting. Because if we say vote or you know, gather the vote of the people, we are saying that the majority rule. In a democracy, that's how it works. The majority rule, each individual has a vote, they gather together, and the one affirmed by the majority is the one selected. It is not so in the church. Majority does not rule in the church. It is the scripture that rules, and it is the word of God It is the authority of God in Scripture that rules. So we say it is a biblical rule, not majority rule. Secondly, sometimes when we confirm and we say vote, we are talking about representation. There are churches who would look into different groups of people and say, well, we need women in the representation. We need some young people in the representation, and we look for equal representation so each one, each group have a voice. We don't have equal representation in the church. Equal representation is not a biblical way, because the Bible makes clear distinction between the spiritual mature and the spiritual immature. We don't want anybody to have the same voice. We want to silence the voice of the immature and the one who are not following Scripture, and we want to lift up those who follow the Lord. So there's not equal representation as such. Again, it is biblical rule. It is not that we gather as a democracy and have some voice and make decision. One thing also, as we confirm a vote, we have the notion that there is an equal opportunity for leadership, that somehow everyone in the church have the same equal opportunity to rise up to leadership, and that is also false. In a democracy, yes, we may think like that, but in the church, no, because leadership is a gift from God. The function that God calls us out is not something we do. It is given to us, and God takes time to develop that in the context of the church. So we don't vote for people who we think so much. We are looking at God's movement in the church, the work He's doing in the church, through the lives of God's people, and we pray through that. And in the collective wisdom of God's people, we confirm what God has already been doing in the lives of people. So again, you know, even though it seems like we are doing something pretty similar to voting and expressing our individual opinion, we must not think that way. We must think in the context of Scripture. It is the rule of Scripture. It is the will of God expressing through the collective wisdom of people who pray, put the Bible first, and follow. And also there's another aspect that I also want to correct as we understand, and that when we're talking about the church, Bang Chap Han, the leadership team, we usually use the word board, you know, as borrowed from the corporate world in our structure, you know, the executive board as such, a structure or a group or a committee there to make a decision for the church. There's no such thing as board, executive board in Scripture. We don't have a people selected into a group so that they can sit there and make decisions for the church. We have people who lead the church, who call into the function of the church, who work in the areas of the word, ministry of the word, and people who are called into the leadership of the ministry of deeds, meaning the servant ministry, and gather together as a leadership team. They make decisions for the church in terms of seeking what God is doing. They ask the question, not what do you think we should do for the church, but they gather and pray and say, what do you know of God doing in the church consistent with Scripture so that we can follow and be where God wants us to be? So again, I don't want us to say that I'm selecting some group of people into a board, into a team, and they sit there and make decisions for the church. And that kind of thinking creates a lot of problems and the economy and issue in the church that rampant even today. We want to say that Scripture does not allow an executive kind of board, but a selection of people called into leadership, affirmed by their lives, affirmed by their commitment to Jesus Christ, and a lifestyle of servant leadership that God will use. So, just in general, I want to make those statements so that as we talk about leadership, we understand that it is not in a human structure that we care about, but it is what the Bible affirms. And also, like I said, you know, there are leaders in the church who are called into the ministry of the word. So the elders and pastors and leaders are pretty much in the same group. Elders are pastors are elders. They are deacons and leadership of team ministry, and they serve in different capacity. Now, all of that, then we say, what do we have to do with me? How does that fare out in the church? And so we want to take time with that, because I say that You know, when we survey people, 70% of people who left a church left because there's some disagreement and conflict with leadership, some kind of leadership of that church. There's always that component of personal conflict, of dissatisfaction that caused people to leave. But also on the other side, when people come to a church, the thing that attract and keep them is the leadership structure, is the way that the church is functioned under biblical rule. So here, Paul is giving instruction in the church of at Thessalonica because they have an issue in this area. Now, placing men in leadership position within the early church is very essential, as we know. In any church, it's essential, but it is never an easy task, especially in a young church like the church at Thessalonica. It is less than a year old. And so when Paul appointed people through the guidance of the Spirit, and here we use a word like appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you, people are put in charge of the church. There's conflict. There's conflict because if you look down just verse 14 and 15, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. So there are people who don't listen, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, patient with everyone. There's problems in the church that are affected by the leadership and how it is function. So Paul is calling out responsibility of both sides now, so that we understand what the leadership ought to do, people who are called into leadership ought to do, and people who are responding to that, what they ought to do. So you see in your outline those two areas, and let me first talk about the responsibility of the leaders. And immediately you sit there, some of you say, I'm not leader, so I don't care. Well, you do, because this is how God will develop leaders in the church as well, but this is also how you hold those who are leadership responsible, accountable, according to the word. And this is what we do next week when we confirm leadership team. We confirm along this line of principles so that we put godly people into position that lead the church. So here, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. So there are three areas here I want to point out. And first is that I put it in a personal way, that if you are called into leadership here, this is what you do, but also for us to follow as such. So, number one, I will pour out my life for my people. I will pour out my life for my people. Number two, I will carry my people. And number three, I will feed my people. If I'm a leader, or if I call into leadership, if I have aspiration to leadership, or if God is working in me, then these are the things that we'll see in my life. And this is the thing that you will see in the life of leaders in the church. First, I will pour out my life for my people, I will carry my people, and I will feed my people. Now first, and very interesting and very important, Paul looked at the number one criteria here. He said that we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you. So first one is hardworking requirement, or the requirement of diligent labor. Fundamentally, I want you to look at that first and look at your own life and look at the life of people that God called out. The root word here comes from a derivative of to have a cut, you know. And so when you get cut, you lose strength and you become kind of weary, you become come to fainting. And so it implies that working hard until exhaustion, working hard until you have nothing else to give, go to the limit and more. That's the idea here. I don't know how to translate it into English, but Vietnamese have a lot of phrases that may be interesting, like, you know, trầy da tóc vảy, đổ mồ hôi trán, trần ai mai khổ. I don't know how to translate, but it's trying to point out that this is not just doing some work, It is diligent labor. It is giving yourself. It is pouring out your life. That's why I use that word to capture the idea here. That people that call into leadership and people God is forming in their lives, the work of leadership, they will see this pouring out of life for the people. So, first we say this is the leadership distinctive. The question often asked is, how can you tell who are the leaders of the church? Or sometimes more precisely, how do you know if God called you into leadership? How do I know that God is calling me into leadership of some function, of some ministry, or of the church? And the first and most basic measurement is this. Do you work hard? Do you labor in the field? Do you labor diligently in serving others? And that's the first sign, and it is, I would say, the most trustworthy sign. And note something very significant here. Paul does not begin with the spiritual gift of leadership. He doesn't say, you know, measure those who are called into leadership. There's a, you know, spiritual leadership gift. Yes, there is. But he said, well, measure the result of that. Whether the guy has gift or not, you don't know. You know if he has a gift, he will show this. And the basic thing of that is that he will labor. It will show up, first of all, in the labor, in the working heart of it. So I want to call that out for you again. Because here is the place where we can see ourselves, whether we are moving in this direction or not, or see whether our leadership team is being affirmed by this or not. Like I said, the church at Thessalonica is a very young church, a year. And people came from the background of slavery and all these mixed things, and some of them, you know, develop as you go, learn as you go. They don't go through seminary and they don't go through training for years. They are there and God worked out the leadership potential and calling in their lives. And they asked, who will be the leaders? Who can lead the church? Paul said, who work among you? Who's doing the work? Who's labor? Well, point. Look at them, and that's the kind of people that you will see. So, who's taking the pain? Who's taking the load? Who's carrying the bucket, as I say? Then spend the time, spend the life. You know, God is working in his or her life in leadership. There's a practice that we call out in the time of confirmation or the time of leadership. Is this, sometimes we look around and say, you know, that guy has potential, but he's not doing anything. You know, maybe I'll just get him to a position, so then he will act accordingly and do it, you know. Wrong answer. You don't do that. If you do that, you ruin his life and you ruin the church. And so many times we do that. We look around and say, hey, this guy looked like a good guy. Let's get him in. No, let's not get him in until he's proven that he is working hard and diligently carrying that out. Otherwise, we will, you know, have a real problem on our hands. Also, hard work and active is two different things. You see people active, popping here and there and express opinion in everything and have something to say to everyone and just pop here and there. Those are not the labor that you're talking about. Those who put their head down on their shoulders, carry that and work that through to exhaustion, those are the ones that we're pointing out. Not the one with opinion, not the one with active mouth or active imagination. So look carefully in the lives of God's people there. So start from that point. I say, you know, if God calling us and God raising our leaders in the church, work hard. Start there. Just give yourself to the work and God will affirm God calling in your life. And also as we confirm leadership in teams, in groups, in ministry, and especially next week in the church, ask the question, who should the church confirm? Who should be in the leadership team? The answer is those who work hard among you. Don't put those who don't work hard, don't put those who not working hard in the team. Very basic. All right? Now, another thing that I just wanted to point out is that working hard among you. And this is the context of the work. It is the commitment of the work. meaning he's not active in, you know, in the global sense and busy about many things. There are people got a calling out for certain work and they will commit to that and they will labor that. I just want to point out there is a context and commitment to the people living, serving, carry that out with the people. And you begin to say, you know, where do you find these people? You know, people float in, out, they try something and they quit and they're moving on. You pray for those who are sticking to something, labor at it, develop in that and let God work in their lives. A few things maybe just look with me in one verse that I find very interesting, and that is 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. It's talking about a leader in the church, but the word it's used is very interesting. Paul uses the word addicted to service. I beseech you, brother, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's the King James Version. The modern version uses the word devoted. But I like the word addicted to service. Here are the people, you know, they don't just float through. They serve well and they stick with it and they devote to that. And so Paul said, pay attention to these people. They've given themselves, they pour their life into the life of the saints. And those are the people you want to pay attention to. Paul talked about himself in the sense, in the model of working hard. in the context of his ministry, but he said that it is not just because of the situation. I'm doing this for the modeling, for the example, so that the church will follow. So read with me a few verses here to see that, you know, the distinctive of leadership is not so much give at the beginning. It is a discipline, it is the effort, it is the gut giving and the life pouring out. Turn to Acts 20, verse 33 to 35. And here Paul summed up his work and ministry, and he said along the line of labor in heart, I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourself know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companion. In everything I did, I show you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus. Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we use the instruction, it is more blessed to give than to receive, in terms of financial giving, yes. But here he's talking more than that. He said, by working hard with your life, that's how you give. By hard work, by giving yourself to this. And Paul uses the word, strong word, like toil and labor, hardship. If you would turn to Thessalonians, before that, chapter 2, verse 9, that we're looking at. He uses this kind of word to show how a life of a leader or a life of people influencing the church should look like. He said, for you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Working hard is a virtue. And I would say that that somehow in the church of God, people work to a point. They would say, okay, I'll do something. I'll block out a few hours. I'll do a few things. Those are called involvement. They're not called hard work. Those who involve in ministry, those who give their life to ministry in hard work, they lead, they influence, they make the difference. Maybe I'll just read forward a little bit, backward a little bit more. Paul uses the analogy of a nursing mother. Still in chapter 2 and verse 6, he said, he said this, as apostle of Christ, we would have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We love you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. We have some young parents in the church now, you know, and talking about waking up at night and feeding them at the baby at 2 in the morning. And I have not heard anybody, even though they would try to convince me that this is so joyful. No, it's not. You know, they can fake that for a week, but you can see their bloodshot eye and, you know, their demeanor. You know that waking up in the middle of the night and labor through it is not fun. But that's the picture here. That's the picture of hard work in the church. That's the picture of leadership. If you have that, then you are the leader of that God can use. If you are able, if you're willing and able and avail yourself to the Lord to give your life for the people, and God will work through that. So watch out this attitude of, I'll do something to a limit and you know, I allow for certain things and that's my schedule. Because you will work yourself way out of the channel that God will use to influence His people and to do the work. Learning to do hard work, learning to sweat, learning to give time, learning to go beyond what you think is possible. And there's discipline involved in this, in leadership here. So when Paul called out for hard work and diligent work, he's not just calling out some individual unseen effort. He's making known that those leaders who live this way will be noticed, will be confirmed by people. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Familiar text here, but as Paul guides us through, he tells Timothy here, but all of us, to understand the process. Let me just read from verse 12, chapter 4. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. And then watch this. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying of hands by the presbytery. What do you do? Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. If you persevere in hard work, if you pay attention in this area, if you take pains with these things, and if you develop yourself where people can see God is using you and leading and moving you in leadership, and they begin to follow you as they see the evidence of your life, you will not only impact them for the work, but he said there, ensure both for yourself and those who hear you salvation, meaning you will impact people with eternal result. So hard work does have that, you know. So watch that for yourself. Don't just float through this area of spiritual development. On the other side, of course, we have to strike a balance, don't we? You know, we don't want to move ourselves to the point of exhaustion and die, and then, you know, there's a whole much left there. And you may have heard about Robert McShane, right? He died at 29 years old, and he said, I have shot the horse, now I cannot deliver the message. And so you have to balance it out. But somehow, I think the problem in the church is not the problem of McShane. I think the problem is that I have spent all my time taking care of the horse, and I did not deliver the message. And that would be the problem. That somehow you take care of the things in your life and play so safe that no work come through. So that's the first one. And so do you work hard for the Lord in the church? You open your life, pour out for the life of people. So there are people with great giftedness. But at this one fundamental level, hardworking, diligent, pouring out of life, they have not done so, and therefore they have not led. And so call out for us to pay attention to this area of work and diligent commitment to the church. The next one is that I use the word, I carry my people. And here I request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. First, I use the word, you know, have charge over you, and I use the word lead. But as you look into the word have charge here, and the implication of that is just probably easier to understand as somebody carry somebody else, you know, carry a burden, carry something. Because the word have charge here is the word stand before, to stand in front, stand before. Vietnamese has the phrase đứng mũi chịu sào, you know, that you're right in front and you carry the weight and you are the one who has the responsibility on yourself. When I was in elementary school, I don't know here, but in Vietnam, you have to line up before the flagpole every morning, and I have the sole responsibility to yell out attention. That's my job in the morning. Just at the right time, I just yell at the top of my lung, extension, and everybody has to line up, and I make sure that, you know, the line is straight. Well, that's sort of the kind of thing. You have the responsibility to call people to attention, to line them up, and to carry, to make sure that it is so. So here is first, you have the responsibility. You take the responsibility. You shoulder the responsibility. So people who lead are people who carry the burden. Very simple. Who will take charge? Who will take the heat? Who will not let this fall to somebody else to take care of? They will say, "This is my burden. I will take this. It will be on me. It will be on my time. It will be on my resources. It will be on my effort. This is mine." You're looking for those, if you're looking for leaders, you affirm those, if you affirm leaders in the church, those who say, "That's my responsibility, let me take care of it," instead of, "Okay, let's find somebody else to do this, I have a bunch of opinion, but I'm not going to do them, you know, let somebody else take care of them. I can have a vision of the church, but let somebody else carry that out." You hear that all the time. I have people come and tell me what they think should be done. I say, "Thanks a lot, but that's not too helpful. Why don't you start doing some of that?" And then you say, see them back off, and they don't have any more opinion. It's because this problem. So here it is, the attitude of taking on responsibility. So let me just ask you, where you sit right now, where you are you taking on responsibilities, or are you just floating around? Are you moving into the area where God can put real work, real influence, real impact on your shoulder for the lives of God's people and the work of the kingdom? Do so. The majority of people float in and out of the church without carrying anything on their shoulder, or not for long. And so we must ask the question, if I am to make the impact, if God is moving in my life, I got to see more and more on my shoulder. I must stand up in the front of a lot more than what I'm doing right now. It's easy just to float along. It's easy to be a passenger, but to really make impact, you take on the responsibility. Let me just give a few verses here that help us to have the sense of keeping watch, taking on responsibility. First, again in Acts 20, verse 27-29, Paul is talking about the leaders of the church now. And he said this: "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock with which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." Well, you say, well, that's for pastors and leaders. True. But the principle the same, that you watch over yourself and watch over the flock which the Holy Spirit give you responsibility. Overseers. Leaders are those who take responsibility, who watch over other people, who carry the burden for other people. And if all you do is just taking care of yourself and your family and things, you're not moving in the area where God is doing his work in his people. Hebrews chapter 13:17, we come back to this text a little later, but there's one phrase here that I like to point out. He said, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." Is there anybody you're watching over? The lives of people, is that something your responsibility? Something happened somewhere else? Will you take that on and say, that's my burden, that's something I have to watch, that's something I have to work? Those are leaders. Those are the where God do the work. So next week you affirm people who are taking on responsibilities. Look into their lives. They are moving in that direction. You affirm them. Those who are moving in the opposite direction, don't affirm them. It's just very simple, because those who lead will carry responsibility. And so watch for that. But in carry on responsibilities, there is this sense of giving yourself, you know, is really sum up the sense of responsibility. Maybe I'll point out to you another verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Sometimes I go very fast with these verses, so if you can flip there, just listen to what I read. Paul is talking about his life in the church, and he said that, I will gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? Well, he's struggling with the people in the church of Corinth here, and he said, you know, why am I doing it? I'm giving myself to you and to the church and to take on responsibility and take care of you. Why are you reacting against me? But what the phrase that he used, I spend for you everything I have. I expend myself as well. You know, I'm taking on your burden, and I'm expanding my resources, my own life for this. And that is a sense of responsibility. That's where God called out for us to do. In another aspect of that, in Galatians 4:19, Paul talking about the burden now and the laboring just to take on responsibility and to see the work is done. He said, my children, for whom I am again in pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. You know, I'm just like a woman giving birth now. I'm in labor. Why? Because of you. Because I'm taking on the responsibility of your development as mine. And this is something, again, we need to affirm. Are you in pain for somebody? Then you are a leader. If you're in pain for yourself, then you got a problem. All right? So work at it. Avail yourself for that, and God will move it forward for you. So who are the leaders? Those who take responsibility. Those who take the pain. Those who stand in front and bear the burden so that others don't have to. And I'm not saying that just because you have a position of leadership that you lead. Many people who are in a position of leadership are not leaders. And so we have to say, if you are in a position of leadership, now begin to build that up and begin to take on the responsibility so that God develop you into real leaders. But do you want to make a difference for God and His kingdom? Anywhere you are, then take on responsibility. Bear the burden. Take the pain. That's the path. Jesus reminded his disciple that very principle of operation of his kingdom. Let's affirm that by turning to Luke 22. Luke 22 said, you want to serve, you want to make influence, you want to be great in the kingdom of God. Here's what it is. Verse 25 to 27. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is the greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. He said that the principle of the kingdom is this, the one who serves is the one who leads. So the only leaders are those who serve. Affirm them. Next one is that I will feed my people, and that comes from a very simple word here. appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. So the leaders are those who bring the word to others. You don't have to be a pastor to lead. You know, if you lead in your group, And you give instructions and you bring the word to bear and you point people to the word here to feed people with God's truth. God will be using you in terms of shaping, directing the people of God. I won't take so much time in this area except just to point out a very crucial area here. And let's turn with me into 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is calling out this function of feeding the people in the time where people are not so committed to the truth. He said, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. When you hear somebody or the apostle open a statement like that, you know that he's very serious. So he solemnly charged Timothy in the work here, and he said, you know, I call out the presence of God, I call out the kingdom, I call out his return, I call out the whole plan of God, and I want you to understand how important that is. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Now, I call attention to this because often I hear people in leadership team and say, you know, people don't want to hear the word, so let's do something else. You know, it's so boring, if we do this, they won't come. Well, in season or out of season, people like it or not, you know, a lot of people may just want to tickle their ears. You commit to this work, and if you commit to this work, you lead the church. You lead your team. You lead where God does his work in you. So have confidence in the word, because those who lead are those who give instructions, those who bring the Bible to his people. You may be an entertainer, you may be an encourager, you may be a spiritual cheerleader, and people may like you a whole lot. Does not mean you lead. It means you lead when people come to you under your influence, they find the word. So who are the leaders in this sense who bring the word to the people? So who do you affirm as leaders? Those who love the word. Those who know the word. They may not have the training, formal or whatever, but in their hearts, there's a commitment to the word, there's a love for the word, and as they live out that word, you know they are moving in leadership. For those who do not, don't put them in. Now, that's so much as responsibility of the leaders. If you say, wow, you know, good. So those who call in leadership, listen to that and go do those things. I'm not into that yet. So if that's not your calling, well, the next thing will be yours. So the next 3 points, we want to look at the responsibilities of the people. The responsibility of the people here, I want to point out a few things, because he said, I request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work, and live in peace with one another. 3 points here that should be evident in all the life of God's people in the church, regardless where we are, but particularly in response to leadership in the church, must show up in these 3 areas. Number one, I will know my leaders. Number two, I will love my leaders. And number three, I will obey my leaders. I will know my leaders, I will love my leaders, and will obey my leaders. And let me just say, on top, on average church and congregation, people don't care of these three. They don't know their leaders, and they don't love so much their leaders, and they don't obey their leaders, and therefore nothing much going on in that church. Somebody wrote, the driveway of many churches are blackened with skid marks from the hasty exits of leaders who have been abused and bashed by heartless and thankless people. I somehow find that fascinating. If you go out to the driveway and you see black marks, it's because they exit in a hurry. Well, in the sense, you know, I call that out because it might not happen here, but throughout the churches, even around us, this happens all the time. And it is because the people do not understand, do not commit to the responsibility given to them. This is the responsibility of the people, and it is something that we must commit to do. So first is that we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently among you. To appreciate here is not to say, okay, you know, once a year, you send a card and you do this. You know, those are appreciation is very much value as well. But it is not that sense that he is calling out. It is actually the word to know by experience. It is the word to know your leader. It is to know those who lead you is what God called out to do. See, people don't care about who leads as long as whatever happened, you know, benefit them. But that's not how it works in the church. That's not how it works in building up the body. You must know and you must spend the time is what happened, is what the call here. Deep knowledge is not like, okay, what's the name of my leader? You know, who's running that show? It's not like that. It's the sense of value, appreciate, respect that come from knowing the person deeply, meaning know enough to care for that person, know enough to understand both the struggles and the ups and downs and to be a part of that life. So it is very easy to be unkind and critical and demanding and indifferent to those who you don't know enough to care. You realize that? You know, for those you just know casually, you don't have a deep connection, it's very easy to say, you know, I be critical about that. But those you care a lot for and you know the struggle of the persons or the people doing the work, you are more charitable. You are partners in that instead of just commentators of their lives. Now, this is very interesting. It is your responsibility to know your leaders. The church thinks the other way around. The church thinks the leaders have the responsibility to know me. You don't see that in Scripture. They are responsible for teaching you, guiding you, equipping you. Responsibility of knowing, but specific instruction is you must know your leader. And how many of you know, say, you know, your leaders in your team, in your ministry, in your church? Not really. People there, and they come, they go, and they say, okay, I think my pastor name starts with a T, and, you know, maybe both of them start with T. Oh, that's wonderful. That's all I care. And you know, so I look up the directory. At least I know where to find them. But what they do, what they struggle, whatever in their life, you couldn't care less because, hey, you don't think of them at all. No, you should. That's your responsibility because God called you out for that so that the people in ministry can do the work. we read 1 Corinthians 16 before, but let me just read the whole portion of that from 15 to 18 just to see the whole impact here that you ought to know. He said that you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have addicted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brethren, to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins the work and labors at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Phonetus, and Achaicus arrived because they have supplied what is lacking from you. For they refresh my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. Such men deserve your attention. You should know them and you should cherish them and you should know them. One area that the Bible tells us in the way of knowing or appreciating and honoring, and that is, let me just point you to that text. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And sometime another area that the church is way lacking in this, in thinking, understanding, and that is the level of support, practical support, financial support. That's part of knowing, that's part of honoring. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture said, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Why do I bring it out? Because the Bible brings it out in terms of knowing your leaders, knowing and honoring them. Sometimes people say, you know, I don't know where they get the living from. Maybe from the government. Actually, it happened in the church. People are, should be well-versed. They've been in church a long time. That's what they think. They don't know where the support comes from. Well, the Bible calls us, as you know the person and you honor, appreciate them, you show that in a practical way. There are judges who just give lip service, but when it comes to real honor, real appreciation, real knowing, you know, it's not showing up in numbers. So we need to do that. I'm not saying this so that I get anything from the church. It's a different situation, but the understanding is there. The commitment is there. And maybe while I'm at it, let me just point out that the level of giving in this church does not allow for that option to happen. And that is your responsibility. We don't have the option to honor anybody in this church. I point you to the level of giving and the level of expenses. Right now, we don't have any salary, anything like that, and we just hit just like that. And if we understand this, knowing, appreciation, and honoring, we need to take on the responsibility as God called us to. So know enough to care, and honor to take care is the point. The next one is very interesting. Also, even though the word love is easy to understand, I will love my leaders. The way Paul put it is extremely strange, I'd say, to the church. Verse 13. I request you, he said, and then verse 13, that you esteem them very highly in love. Now, he used, you know, composite phrases just to make sure that we don't miss this point. that you think about them, you esteem them, you consider them very highly beyond all measures. No limits to your love for them. And how many of us say that's how I think and that's how I treat people in leadership? I'm not just talking about pastors now. I'm talking about, do you care about your leaders in your team like this? You know, you don't even know how they feel. You don't know, he said that you have this habit to esteem the leaders very highly in love. Why? Because of their work. So here is this, the portion. Number one, you must think about them. See, that's the first thing as your responsibility at the church is to be involved and to be engaged. It's not enough just to say, okay, I'll go to church a couple hours and that's done. I'll take my family, go to lunch and go home. Then you're not contributing. Then you're not building up the church and you're not affirming those who are got called out to carry the load for you. You ought to think about them. Spurgeon preached in a way that's very dynamic and impacting lives, and he filled up his church. But if you come early to the church tabernacle at London, you won't see anybody so much sitting in the chair. You got to go down to the basement, and you will see 700 people show up every Sunday morning to pray for the pastor. 700 of them come in just to pray for the pastor and pray for the work and pray for the worship. If they think like that, no wonder the church have impact. When people don't think like that, they don't know like that, they don't make the commitment, and this point of connection is there, then you know that the whole spiritual life is also disconnected. So very strong here. Paul uses word double superlative. Most exceedingly, beyond all measure, is how you love them. Not that they deserve anything, not anything personal even. He said, why? Because of the work. You see, you consider people in this line is because God called people out to work. You appreciate them because the work that they do. Do you love your leaders? Do you love those who lead you in Bible study? In your Sunday school? You show up when you like to and you disappear when you like to. You don't know how they feel. You know the work they put in to prepare. You love your pastors? Well, you should, right? Not just lip service or some appreciation cards and things like that, but do you pray diligently for them? And here, saying that beyond measure, that you do commit to loving them. That's the responsibility given to the church. And I think the church come short a lot of times. And then we say, if God want to move the church beyond where we are, where will he move? He will have to move the people and the leaders fulfilling their responsibilities. Maybe a connection point will show you that in Galatians 4. Turn with me there, and then I'll hurry up for the next point. Galatians 4 here, Paul talking about his relationship to the Galatians that started out so well, and then it's deteriorating to the point it's so painful. He started out as verse 13. He said that, you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time, and that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? For I bear you witness that if possible you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth. I mean, you can hear the pain here. You say, remember Galatians, how we started out. When I came to you, he probably had an eye condition that he looked terrible, you know, and they embraced him, and he said that you receive me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. That's the exceeding love that the church is called to give. That is the commitment that the church is called to give. And he said that I can testify that at that time, you will give your life for me. You will pluck out your eyes for me. And then what happened? Now why are you treating me as enemy? Why are you looking at me? What happened to the relationship that ought to be? You know, lots of time people in the church turn to be enemies and adversaries of the very people who lead them, who guide them. Nobody is perfect, we know that. But sometimes we just forget that responsibility that it is upon the church to love and commit. And when the church turns into a fighting, adversarial, you know, relationship, it's so painful everywhere. It is now so many places. And I want to call this out for you. Like, you know, we leadership in many different areas have to fulfill our responsibility, pour out our life for the people, carry the people, take responsibility, feed the people with the word of God, be diligent about that, give ourselves to that task, and we must. But on the other side, you not just sit there and receive. You have responsibility to leaders in your midst. You have to know them. You have to love them. You have to commit not to fight them like this. And when the church understands that with that love, we avoid so many problems that just happening right now. And so the next one is obvious. He said, you obey them. And that is, in the sense, live in peace with one another. In that the sense here is to live with your leaders in peace. Meaning, if they give you instruction, if they labor among you, if they have charge over you, well, you follow. You know, you have peace. You work with them as they carry out their function in the Lord. Leaders in the church, leaders in the group, leaders in the team have no authority over the people except through Scripture. Our authority is derived. Nothing personal, nothing in position. It is derived from the Word. And so when the Word is declared and when the Word is applied into the life of the people, you must listen. You don't have the option to just say, hey, I like to, I don't. You know, for example, I say, go to church on Sunday, and I point that out to you in the text, you go to church on Sunday. I mean, what's there not to obey? You know, I say, here's the level of giving and here's the teaching. Then you begin to work that into your life and say, that's the word of the Lord. He pointed out to me from Scripture. I'm not obeying him, but I hear his voice because he explained Scripture. I obey. You go to your ministry and the ministry leader and tell you, you know, get involved and do this. And it's consistent with the calling and the function of the church. You do it. People don't have this sense so much, you know, especially in our time. Way back, maybe there's more respect to leadership, more respect to teaching, more respect to this. Right now, you know, we call, they don't answer. We send email, they don't reply. They pick and choose whenever relationship they have. Be careful in that. Let's hear the text again in Hebrews chapter 13. Because here is also the key of relationship and the benefit of for the church. Let me first just read from 13:7, and then we read 17. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I mean, consider, meaning follow, look at what they teach you, look at the word they deliver you, follow their footsteps, imitate their lives, work with them, follow them. You know, don't just sit there and just be a spectator or the one who just say, okay, move me if you can. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. You know, sometimes I hear leaders of team and groups and things just labor so hard. And because the people in the group not responding. He said that give so much joy for them. You know, and when they have much joy, it will be benefit for you. Why do you make the labor harder for? And so that is in the sense here that we are called, again, the responsibilities. So are you aware of these responsibilities? Well, you are now, okay? Unfortunately, you show up today and you walk out, you just can't blame ignorance anymore. It is here in the text, you look at that and you say, responsibility of leaders, they have to walk that way. And so I will affirm people in leadership according to these standards and these criteria that the Bible laid out for me. People who give their life to serve the people, people who take responsibility, the people who bring the word, those are people I will affirm. And I will take the responsibility as the word give to me in relationship with them. I will know them, I will love them, I will obey them. And when those two things come together, there's a dynamics in the community of faith that God can work His purpose and His plan impacting those who are around us. When we're not, we're so disconnected. All the energy just spent just to keep the church together and not to do the kingdom calling. So let's just hear it very simple again. We request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. That is the church. That is our calling. Let's stand. But the word is clear. And we just submit ourselves to the responsibilities, Lord, you put on us as leaders and as people. But we always have people who lead us. We pray that this attitude that is true in our lives to them, so that, Lord, we know them as you work in their lives, that we love them, Lord, in support, in affirmation, confirmation of your work in their lives, and that we submit ourselves in obedience to those who put over us to give instruction from your word. That we are not found rebellious, indifferent, but committed to you and to your church. But also, Lord, we hear your call into leadership. We hear your measurement. We hear your confirmation. And we pray that we too will pour our life to the life of people. That we will take on responsibility, the needs of others as our own. And that we will know the word and will share the word so others may be brought up in you and in your instruction. But we pray for the leaders of the church and the leaders of the team and the ministries that they will take their function seriously as you will work through their lives and their work to impact not only themselves, Lord, but others, salvation, eternal impact, and your glory. Help us to embrace these responsibilities with commitment to you and to one another. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name.